Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Good morning, everybody. Best day of the week. Come on, best day of the week. You got to agree with me on that. It's also, I woke up this morning, it was actually the first thought I had this morning. My wife was very spiritual and very profound, I won't share that. But for me, the first thing I thought of was, this is the last Sunday of October. So you all know what that means, right? That means that for the next 8 to 10 weeks, we're going to have to hear Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You on repeat. It's not about preparing for Thanksgiving anymore, right? No, it's not. All you got to do is go into Lowe's or Walmart or wherever else, and you realize, like, it's all about Christmas. My wife was in Walmart. We were there the other day, and, like, she went berserk. She went out of her mind. She actually even, she put it back. Well, she stole it momentarily. Come on, you know my wife. But she took a Grinch costume off the rack and put it on, and then just started walking around the store, and... Yeah, I'm just not ready for it yet. I'm just not ready. Get ready is right. Yeah, I don't have a choice, right? Oh, there she is. I didn't know she was here. Yeah. But this is an exciting Sunday. I have a word. I have actually about three. I have to choose which one I want to share. But it's such a powerful series that we've been doing on the names of God. I hope you've been here for all of it. If you haven't, really, I'd encourage you to go back, listen to the podcast, or watch the sermons on our Facebook Live, our Facebook page, because when we're talking about God's name, we're talking about who God is. And even more than who God is, what God is capable of because of who he is. One of my favorite verses is in Hebrews chapter 11. We don't have it on the screen, but it talks about faith. The whole chapter is about faith. And it says that he who comes to God, how many people come to God? Okay, it says he who comes to God, or she, you got to believe that he is first. But then it goes on to say, and you have to believe also that because he is, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. He is a God who loves to reward those who seek. And so I don't know what brought you here today. It could be because you are hungry for the presence of God. You're hungry for the word of God. You're seeking, you're searching, and that's awesome. I really believe that God will meet you exactly where you're at. Some of you might have just checked a box. You might just say, well, it's Sunday. Got to go to church. Or maybe somebody brought you here or dragged you here or whatever the case may be. And that's okay too, because I believe that God is going to meet you right where you are at. He does not discriminate. He's just glad you're in the building. And sometimes when you're just in the room, when you're just in the atmosphere, you get whatever God wants to give you. He's a God of grace. And I could tell you this, he's better than you think he is. So I want to start with a question this morning. And that question is simply this. What comes into your mind when you think about God? Now, this is not a public discussion. Be a good small group starter, though, for those of you community group leaders. What comes into your mind when you think about God? A.W. Tozer, who's a noted author and Bible teacher from several decades ago, he's actually one of my literary heroes, he said this. He said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So think about that. The most important thing about you is what comes to your mind immediately. Not when you think long and hard, not when you do some kind of, you know, deep search in the Bible or you know, the Bible's companion, Google. But it's not that. The most important thing about you is what immediately comes to your mind when you think about God. And so I started thinking about this series because it's been such a powerful series. I've been the bread. Pastor Wes has been the meat, right? I started the series. I'm ending the series. He had those three powerful sermons in the midst of it, talking about three of the names of God. And I got thinking about it. I'm like, well, maybe some people have been thinking like, you know, God is Jehovah or God is Yahweh or God is, you know, those five P's that I talked about, how because he's God, he's powerful and he's perfect and he's personal and all those. Or maybe you're thinking he's our victory, he's Nisi, or he's our provider, he's Jehovah Jireh, or he's, like last week, he's Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. So maybe that's what comes to your mind when you think about God, and that would be great. But can I offer you a suggestion, and then we'll take off in the sermon this morning, that what we should think about God, what we should, it should be at the top of the list, is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Jesus. When you think about God, Jesus should rise to the surface of your thought process. Why? Because everything you want to know about God is found in Jesus. Everything. Everything that you could pot. In fact, if you have a thought process about God and you don't see it in Jesus, then it's grounds to question. And everybody has a thought or opinion about Jesus, don't they? Everybody does. Even the atheist who says that they don't, they do. Everybody has an opinion about Jesus. But the Bible is the only place that you can go to where you actually get the truth. You actually get the truth. And so I want to read this verse of scripture to you guys. It's in Luke 24. This is actually, there's a whole sermon in this particular chapter. We're going to not do that today because we don't have time. But I love visiting places in the Bible where God has encountered me and spoke to me. And this is one of those places. This is Luke 24. This is after the resurrection. And you might know the story, but there's these two disciples who are walking on this road from Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus, and it's 7 mile distance. That's a long walk, especially in Jerusalem where it's rugged and mountainous. It's a 7 mile walk. And they're walking, and they're kind of, you know, they're kind of emotional. They're perplexed. They're overwhelmed. They put all their hopes in Jesus as the Savior and as the Messiah, and then he died. And now all of a sudden, 3 days later, there's people talking about how he's not in the tomb, and they don't know what to think. And so they're taking this walk, and they're talking amongst themselves, and then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the road, and he walks with them. But they don't know it's him. They don't know it's him. I bet you there's been times in your life where you've just been kind of walking along, 7 mile walk or not, and Jesus was with you, and you didn't know it was him. So Jesus shows up, and he's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, what do you mean? You don't know what's been going on? And he goes, no, what? Like the ultimate plain dumb. And so they start talking about it, and he goes, you know what? He's like, are you guys like slow to believe? Are you foolish? Like, what? Don't you remember what the prophet said? And look at this verse, Luke 24, 27. This is what he said. It says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, and he explained from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what did he do? Jesus basically conducted a Bible study or a community group with these two disciples, and he sat them down, and he didn't need a Bible because he is the Word of God, and he pointed out from Genesis to Malachi every single place that spoke of him. And pretty much what he did was every verse, every chapter, every book, every story. He's in Genesis doing creation. He's like, hey, boys, I was there. I was the one creating. Remember the Abraham-Isaac story where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son and God stopped him and said, hey, don't do that. I'll provide the lamb. Yeah, he was actually talking about me. Remember the Exodus and all that stuff with liberating the Israelites from Egyptian slavery? Remember that? That's actually all a prophetic foreshadow of what I'm going to do when I remove you from the Egypt of sin. So he just walks them through the Bible and says, everything's about me. And so one of the things that I think is really important is as we have gone through the names of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, do you know there's actually 300 expressions of God's identity and character in the Old Testament? 300. There's a lot of them. One of my favorite ones is Jehovah Shammah, which is found in the last verse of the book of Ezekiel. Crazy book. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is here. He's near. He's with us. It's meaningful to me. When I'm going through my Monday through Sunday and the world is jacked up, right? And some of my thoughts are just racing. I need to dial it back to remember that he is Jehovah Shammah. He's here. He's with me. Or like he'll say again, he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Right? We need to know those things. But all 300 expressions, if you remember anything I say today, all 300 names, Nisi, Jireh, Rapha, all of them are complete and fulfilled in one name. In one name. And that's what? It's the name of, come on, talk back to me. It's the name of Jesus. Jesus is the totality of God's identity, of God's fullness. And he says it right here. He took them through this particular journey. Now, I have this statement that I make a lot when I'm teaching students. And I want to use this as a foundation, and then I just want to preach to you, you know, to close this day. But Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. All right? So just come to my class for like 1 minute, all right? And if you don't like school, you can tune me out if you want to, but just one minute, and I want to explain to you what I mean by that. The word theology has gotten a bad rap, all right? But the word theology simply just means this. It's actually made up of two words, the word theos in Greek, which means God, and the word logos in Greek, which means word, idea, thought, or expressed concept about a thing. It's like all your ologies, your zoologies, your geologies. It's all actually comes from this word logos. So theos, logos, means an idea or a concept about God. That's what theology is. It's just people just trying to figure out who God is and what he's like. And Jesus is a perfect theology. He's a perfect word about God. He is the word. He's a perfect idea about God. He's the perfect expression of who God is, right? And I mean, we're not talking about, and I love the Old Testament, but we're not talking about glimpses and shadows and hints. We're talking about like divine ophthalmologists. We're talking about full 2020. We're talking about 4K. We're talking about it isn't blurry anymore. We're talking about clear perception, clear vision about who God is. It's found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. And the scriptures don't lie, right? The scriptures are so clear about this. I just want to give you a couple that explain this. Jesus is perfect theology. Check this out. First of all, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 says this. It says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. In Christ, all the fullness of God lives in a human body. In other words, God invested all that he was, all that he is, right? Nisi, Rapha, Jireh, take them all. And he invests it in Jesus so that Jesus becomes God with a face, God with hands, God with feet, God with a mouth, right? So that's all the fullness of God in Christ. Next one, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. It says this, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. One translation says that he is literally the mirror image. I love that. You know, we get up here and we talk about these things like Trinity and Father, Son, and Spirit and how they're all God. And is there anything more like just weighty to think about than that? How is Jesus 100% God and 100% man? I don't know. I just believe it. I just know because the Bible says it is. So when the scripture says he's the radiance, he's the brilliance of God's glory, everything about the glory of God is found in Jesus. He's the exact expression of his nature. And then the one that just kind of just cleans it all up is John chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. Now, you're going to know the first verse because it's everywhere. It's bumper sticker, T-shirt, right? It says this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many know that scripture? Hey, let's keep reading. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. Think about that. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Well, Philip speaks up and says, hey, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus responds in his kindness and says, hey, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. And you know, there's a lot of reasons why Jesus came to the earth, but can I tell you this? And this is, to me, it's the climax of everything that Jesus did. Jesus didn't just come to die on a cross and forgive us of our sin. Jesus didn't just come to reconcile us. Jesus didn't just come to do all these incredible things, redeem us. Jesus came to show us what God is like. Don't raise your hand, please. But I know me. I did not have a good picture of what a father looked like. I didn't. But now I do. Because I have Jesus. And I have a picture now of what a perfect father looks like. See, spiritually, we've all been orphaned. We've all been alienated from relationship with the Father, with what a real father looks like. See, a lot of times we have this view of God, and you might be sitting here thinking, I have a view of God that God is harsh, that God is a judge, that God doesn't really care too much about me, that, you know what, when I pray, he doesn't answer me. I don't hear his voice. I don't see him. I mean, really, is he that interested in me? You might have these warped views of God because of how you've been raised or because of the pictures that you have in the world. But Jesus is here to tell you, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And one thing I know about Jesus, he's merciful. And he's compassionate, and he's personal, and he's good, and he's kind. I mean, tell the woman who was caught in adultery that Jesus isn't kind, and he wasn't compassionate, and he wasn't dismissing sin like it's not important. He was just saying, no, this is how the Father really is. This is how God really is. I'm showing you the fullest expression of what God is. And so now, based upon this portrait, I'm going to heal you from the inside out. Jesus is the perfect expression of the Father. And what's interesting about this, and we're going to start to land the plane, is Jesus was not an actual, it wasn't an uncommon name. Like, it doesn't pack the same punch in the first century does it now. Like, when you think Jesus, you're like, whoa, right? I mean, I don't know, just guessing, but those of you who haven't children, you weren't thinking, like, name your son Jesus, right? Because you're like, that's a name that's too sacred, too supernatural. We're not touching that name. But did you know in the first century, like when Jesus was walking the earth, like Jesus was as common a name as Steve or Rob or Chris. Can't say Wes, but right? Jesus was a very common name. Jesus is actually the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua. So like if they spoke Hebrew, they would just be calling Jesus Joshua or Yeshua. It was just common. It was just normal. And it's incredible how God takes a very common name and then exalts it and then raises it up to be so uncommon. Look at this verse of scripture. Come on, you love this one. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, therefore, God elevated him, Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Come on, Jesus is the name above every other name. It goes further. Then it says, that at that name, watch this, at that name, every knee should bow. Where? In heaven. So angels are bowing. Where else? On earth. That means human beings are bowing. And then it says even under the earth. Yeah, that's right. Demons shudder at the name of Jesus. Angels, humans, demons, all bowing at the exalted name of Jesus. It's the name above every name. Now, this is not supposed to be a history lesson. This is not supposed to be something that we're just talking about because we're in church on Sunday and it's what we do. We open the Bible and we talk about. No, this is about your life. This could be a moment for you. What comes into your mind when you think about God? Well, I'm telling you it should be Jesus. Why? Because he's got the name above every name. He's full of grace and he's full of truth. He's the great I am. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the resurrection. He's the life. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. Come on, he's the salt of the earth. Come on, somebody. The name of Jesus. And I know this. I don't know what you're going through, but I know Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than anything and everything that you're going through. No matter how terrifying it is, no matter how daunting it is, no matter how paralyzing it is, Jesus' name is greater. It's higher. It's better. And that's why you should call on the name that's above every name. In fact, I think this. Some of you are paralyzed by fear over something, even right now this morning. You got a bad report, or you've been dealing with just a situation that just will not let you go. Maybe it's relational, maybe it's health. I don't know what it is. But I can tell you this, the thing that you're afraid of is afraid of the name of Jesus. The thing that you are afraid of is afraid of the name of Jesus, because there is a redemptive solution for everything that we're experiencing in life, because he's got that name. And there's something about that name, but you got to call upon that name. You got to speak that name. That's why I love that song we sang here today. You speak the name of Jesus over your heart and over your mind. And I'm going to challenge you. Maybe you just are in a spot right now where you just feel stuck and you can't even speak it. How about you whisper it? And maybe you need to just take a leap of faith and you need to shout, like get alone. Even when you're walking out of here, get outside. It might be a little bit awkward in here. But you go outside and you get in your car and you freak your kids out if you have to, but you shout the name of Jesus. Because that name is what breaks chains. And that name is what destroys strongholds. And that name is what heals, sets free, and delivers. And so let's just kind of put a cap on this series here this morning. Can we do that? Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. It doesn't mean we can't sing about Jireh. It doesn't mean we can't talk about Jireh, right? Of course we can. But Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul said this. He said, "And this same God," he's talking about Jesus, "and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs." Come on, say all your needs. All of them. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, financial, all your needs. That's what the Bible says. All your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Jireh. How about this? Jesus is also Jehovah Nisi. I wasn't here for this particular message, but I heard it and I loved it. Jesus is that banner over us that gives us victory. Romans chapter 8 says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." Another translation I used to grow up with said it like this: "We're more than conquerors." Come on, anybody out there bold enough to say, "I'm more than a conqueror"? Yeah, I know. It's tough to say something, right? You're not just according to heaven. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Not because of you, because of him. Look at the verse again. Despite all these things, despite your past, despite your failures, despite the present, despite what you're experiencing, despite what happened yesterday, despite what happened this morning, despite all these things, you have an overwhelming victory because of Jesus. And the great challenge, of course, is from getting that to our spirit, from our spirit into our head. And I tell my wife this often. She knows it, but I have to remind her. Seriously. She'll do it to me too. But you cannot have a thought in your head about yourself that Jesus doesn't have about you. You cannot have a thought about your life. It's different than what Jesus thinks about your life. And I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Jesus isn't just Jehovah Nisi, he's also Jehovah Rapha. He's your healer. He's your healer. And I know in church when we talk about healing, and Wes did such an incredible job on this last week, it's not just about physical bodies. Can Jesus heal your physical body? Of course he can. Of course he can. And of course he does. That's not limited to that. Jesus wants to heal every part of your life. And there's too many things we're holding on to. Where it says here in Matthew 4:23, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Watch this. He healed every kind of disease and illness, no matter what it is. As you're standing this morning, and as we're going to go into this song, I want you to put your hands out like this. If you're comfortable, just put your hands out like this. And I want you to present to God whatever it is you need healing for. Whatever it is. God, I believe you heal every kind of disease and illness, be it physical, be it emotional, be it mental. God, I believe that you are a healer. And I believe that you'll heal what I'm giving to you right now, because he's that good. And let's just do one more. We're just out of time, but let's do one more. This is really where it all leads to anyway. Jesus isn't just our victory, our provider, and our healer. Jesus is our Savior. Anybody out there, Jesus is your Savior? Come on. Jesus forgave your sin when you didn't deserve it. Jesus showed you mercy when you deserve judgment. Jesus gave you grace. Yeah. But you know what he also did? He rescued you from living your whole life without knowing who God is. He rescued you and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So embrace who I am and let me save you and rescue you and bring you to a place where you can know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. All throughout this place, we're going to sing this song where you speak Jesus. And for some of you, it might be the first time you actually mean it. Might be the first time where you say, you know what, I'm going to speak Jesus, and I'm going to believe that he is the Son of the living God. And I'm going to believe that he's enough for me. And I'm going to believe that he's the one who can really turn my world upside down. Or maybe right side up is what you need. And he's the one who can save and forgive me. And he can take care of everything I'm experiencing. Come on, speak the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.